by Jell-O and Jell-O Pudding, starring Jack Benny, with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson.
See, the combination is right to 45, left to 60, back to 15, and left to 110. There.
Jack Benny entertained us for more than 60 years. Unlike many entertainers, Jack Benny will never be forgotten. For Jack Benny is an American legend.
This is the Jack Benny story, told in part by Jack Benny himself. Produced by American International Productions. Your host and narrator is Tom Reed.
Thank you, Al Simmons. I'm executive director of the Old Time Radio National Archives. And during the next few hours, we will trace the professional career of Jack Benny. We'll hear from Jack himself, his producer Hilliard Marks, Ed Sullivan, and all the characters that made the Jack Benny shows so enduring to all of us. There may be some very young members of our audience who never saw Jack Benny in person or never heard any of the great radio shows. By the time this tribute to Jack Benny is over, even the young will know why Jack Benny became an entertainment legend in his own time. February 14th. Jack did do movies and television, but he really was at his best in radio. It's as if radio and Jack Benny were meant for each other. I was with Jack just a few months before his untimely death in December 1974. And fortunately, I had a tape recorder along.
Train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga. Does anybody want to go to Anaheim, Azusa, or Cucamonga?
This is the Jack Benny story, narrated by Tom Reed.
Finer furniture for finer homes comes from Selden's.
Where quality makes the difference. Second best won't do. You'll be impressed when you buy the best, 'cause quality makes the difference.
When you select furniture from Selden's, you know that you're going to have it for a while because it's made to last. Made by the finest manufacturers in the country with an eye to construction, design, and durability. Selden's takes pride in their brand names on the furniture they show, and they take pride in their service, too. The people at Selden's feel that a little extra service just naturally goes with selling the finest. When you match moderate prices at Selden's with the quality and service, you know why so many of the finer homes in this area are served by Selden's, Franklin, and Legion Way.
You'll be impressed when you buy the best, 'cause quality makes the difference.
Jack was actually born in a Chicago, Illinois hospital, where his mother was brought for the event. Their home, though, was Waukegan, Illinois. The year was 1894, February 14th. He was born Benny Kubelski, the son of Orthodox Jewish immigrants from Russia. At a very early age, Jack was given two presents by his father, a violin and a monkey wrench. The violin was for if he had any talent, the monkey wrench if he did not. He took to the violin immediately and started taking lessons. Jack was actually considered somewhat of a child prodigy on the fiddle in his hometown at the time. While he was still in grammar school, he had a job as an usher at the local Barrison Theater and soon joined the orchestra there. When he was only 16, Jack and a pianist in the pit of the Barrison Theater teamed up as a vaudeville duo. He hit the road in 1911 in the touring act billed as Salisbury and Benny, from Grand Opera to Ragtime. During those days, Jack would make little side comments during the show, and found to his amazement that the audience laughed. It didn't take him long to discover that his real talent was as a comedian, not a musician. He kept his violin, though, more now as a prop. However, there was another joking violinist around in those days by the name of Ben K. Burney. Benny Kubelski had been calling himself Ben K. Benny. So to eliminate any confusion, he became Jack Benny. Later, Jack teamed up with a Chicago pianist by the name of Lyman Woods. Shortly after the outbreak of the First World War, Jack enlisted in the Navy and was assigned to the Great Lakes Naval Training Station. Then he was put in the Great Lakes Naval Review, a stage presentation for the Navy Relief Fund for Widows and Orphans. It was during this show that Jack fully discovered that his humorous asides got more audience response than his musical selections. It was an important milestone in Jack's life because it marked him as a man who could talk as well as fiddle. After the war, Jack returned to vaudeville, but now as a comedian with a violin mostly as a prop. He was so successful that soon he appeared in several big musicals for the Schuberts and Earl Carroll's Vanities on Broadway. A roadshow tour took Jack Benny to Los Angeles. Two important things happened to Jack there. First, his act was caught by Harry Rath of MGM. Jack was signed to a long-term contract, two pictures a year at $1,500 a week. Well, that was a lot of money in January of 1927. His first picture was just after the talkies had come in. Jack was used as a stand-up comedian. The studio put him into the Hollywood Review of 1929 in a sketch, and in Chasing Rainbows in 1930 as a stage manager. Due to his film success, he was a smash hit at the London Palladium and in New York. MGM, on the other hand, had no plans for him, so Jack asked for his release and returned east to vaudeville and Broadway musicals. Hilliard Marks, who later became Jack's close friend, writer, and producer of his radio and TV shows, first ran into Jack in those early Hollywood movie days.
I went over one day and his third assistant director's job was open. And it was on Riff Raff. I had just finished The Tale of Two Cities, and it was Riff Raff with Gene Harlow and Una Merkel and Spencer Tracy. And we were shooting, exteriors, and most of the film was shot on Terminal Island. It was a bit about the canneries and such, if you remember. And then I gave Jack material, and that's really how I started.
Was there any thought in your mind then when you first met Jack Benny that you later would be working for him?
No, not really. He had two writers, Bill Morrow and Ed Boulogne, and very fine, competent writers, great writers. In fact, Bill Morrow went on to write for Bing Crosby after he left Jack. And Ed Boulogne went in to motion pictures and was quite active on screenplays. And I only worked for Jack a short time, and then I went into the Air Force.
Leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Medusa, and Cucamonga. Oh, come on, somebody must want to go to Anaheim.
You're listening to The Jack Benny Story, narrated by Tom Reed.
Marble Elegance Imports brings you weather reports daily. That special day for lovers is coming.
My funny Valentine.
And for your special lover, Marble Elegance Imports has a wide variety of very special things to say I love you in a way that is so unique. Stop at Marble Elegance Imports and browse through their selection of gifts fashioned from marble in styling as timeless as the stone itself. Marble lamp bases, tabletops, desk accessories, flower bowls and bud vases, pastry slabs. Choose from a large collection of genuine jade jewelry, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, pendants, all artistically fashioned to enhance the beauty of the wearer. Marble Elegance Import suggests paintings, soapstone carvings, oriental screens or brass pieces from the Far East. For your Valentine, there's something that will truly please the heart at Marble Elegance Imports, 5826 Pacific in Lacey. Stop in today.
Are you small?
The second important thing that happened to Jack Benny in Hollywood in the late 1920s was meeting a younger sister of a vaudevillian named Al Bernovici. Her name was Sadie Marks. She disliked show business and was selling hosiery in a Los Angeles department store, the May Company, when Jack first met her. In January of 1927, Jack Benny married Sadie Marks in his hometown of Waukegan, Illinois. Her stage name became Mary Livingston. Years later, Jack did a skit with Mary in a department store setting to demonstrate how he met her.
Everywhere I go. Hello, kiddo. Where have you been all my life?
Avoiding you.
You're good. I like my tomatoes with a little spice. Tell me, baby, what's your name?
Mary.
Mary what? Quite contrary? Oh, you beautiful doll. What's your full name?
Look, mister, my name is Mary Livingston. I was born in Plainfield, New Jersey. I know I should be in pictures, but I'm very happy here at the May Company. Now, what do you want?
Wait a minute, baby. Wait a minute. You got me all wrong. No, Mary, I'm not trying to
these
get
these stockings seem to be all right. I hope they're going to be strong enough. Let me see.
Hey. You get a lot of strange customers around here, don't you?
Aw, you're just self-conscious.
Mary Livingston may not have met Jack in exactly that way, but it made good script material, and their banter built some of Jack's funniest radio scripts. Everything Jack Benny had done to this time might have been good entertainment, but would never have made him an entertainment legend. His biggest triumph was radio. The new medium was just getting going in the early 1930s. Jack saw that other comedians were already on radio, such as Eddie Cantor, Burns and Allen, and others. He knew radio would be big, and he also had the foresight to move into the medium that was biggest at the time. That ability to change with the times never left him, and was largely responsible for his more than 60 years as a headliner in American entertainment. Yes, Jack Benny knew radio would be the medium of the future, and he had to find a way to get into it. Producer, Hilliard Marks.
And it all began when he was on Ed Sullivan's show. Ed Sullivan was a sports writer. And he asked Jack to appear as a guest. And Jack's opening line was, "This is Jack Benny speaking," and as if anyone would care or who cares. And there was a someone from the advertising agency thought he would be great to have a show, and it was Canada Dry, his first sponsor, but that was only in the East.
The last time I was with Jack, shortly before his death, I asked him if he agreed with the stories about Ed Sullivan giving him a start.
Yes, because I had quit a big show. I was on the road with Earl Carroll's Vanities, and I realized that radio was a thing to get into. So I got a release from the show, from Earl Carroll. And I told him the reason. I said, I want to try and get into radio. And so I was in New York for a couple of weeks, waiting for the opportunity to get into radio. This was in 1931 or 32. And finally, Ed Sullivan saw me or called me or something, asked me if I'd go on a show with him, because he was doing a sports show, sport news on radio. And I said, all right, what do we do? Oh, we said, we'll just talk about sports. I'll ask you some questions about your business. You ask me some questions, we'll talk. So I went on, and the next morning, I had a call to be on my very first radio show. So even though I probably would have gotten into radio anything, because you have to get in to whatever is important at the time.
Leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga. Look, we're not asking much. Two of you, or even one of you. Just somebody to keep the engineer company.
This is the story of Jack Benny, narrated by Tom Reed.
A
A couple of weeks ago, a train pulled in, not stopping at Anaheim, Azusa, or Cucamonga. It pulled into Olympia with a trainload of General Electric appliances for Olympia Appliance Center. Since then, they've been offering extra special prices on GE refrigerators, washers, dryers, dishwashers, compactors, and disposers. The four remaining GE school ranges are very specially priced. Olympia Appliance Center needs good trade-ins, and so they're offering up to $100 for late model refrigerators or late model washers and dryers in operating condition, and up to $50 on used ranges. Olympia Appliance Center not only offers you the best values in town, but they'll give you free delivery and complete warranty service. They've served the Olympia area for over 22 years with value and service. See the crew at Olympia Appliance Center during this windup of the big GE train load sale. All aboard!
Thirty years after his introduction on Ed Sullivan's show, Ed asked Jack back. April of 1967. Ed Sullivan.
Ladies and gentlemen, 35 years ago, I was doing a radio show on CBS here in New York, and I asked a very good friend of mine, Jack Benny, to be a guest on my program. And Jack proved to be such a terrific hit that CBS immediately signed him for radio. Now, the rest is history, and here Jack Benny is to celebrate the 35th anniversary of that original date. My friend and your friend, Jack Benny. So let's bring him on.
You can leave now. I'm going to work. Hello. That was a nice introduction, but, ladies and gentlemen, everything that Ed Sullivan said about me during the introduction is true. I mean, 35 years ago, Ed Sullivan had a radio show, and I appeared on it as a guest. And because of my appearance, I got my own radio show, and it led into pictures and everything else. So whatever success I've enjoyed, I just want you to know that it's due to Ed Sullivan. I'm really thankful to Ed, but you want to know something? He has never let me forget it. I've been on this show at least a dozen times, and I've yet to get paid. Every time I ask him for money, he says, "Jack, look what I did for you. Without me, you'd be nothing." Now, I'll tell you how I happen to be here tonight. About a week ago, I was in New York, and I ran into Sullivan, and he asked me to be on his show tonight, April 30th. So I said, "All right, Ed, I'll be glad to. Now, how much money do I get?" And he said, "Nothing." And I said, "Again, nothing?" He said, "Jack, you keep forgetting what I did for you." But I said, "Ed, that was 35 years ago. How long do I have to be in bondage?" You know, it's Passover. We're celebrating the Exodus. And he said, "Jack, that's my offer. Take it or leave it." Then he raised his hand, the traffic parted, and we walked across the street. I still can't get a dime. Oh, before, and I want to do something, ladies and gentlemen, that has never been done in this theater before. I'd like to introduce somebody from the audience. I'd like to have you meet my wife, Mary Bird, who is sitting right here in the audience, and have her take a bow. Glad that she stood up and waved, because that makes her dress and the glove on her right hand deductible. Well, anyway, yes, Ed.
Wait a minute, Jack. Hold it. Please hold it.
What is it?
Well, I don't like the tone that this thing is taking. I don't mind what you say about me. But it's my job, don't you understand, Jack? You introduce Mary, I introduce people to our audience.
You introduce football players, Mary.
This is the Jack Benny Story, narrated by Tom Reed.
Weather reports are brought to you daily by Greg's Fireplace Shop. You know, when you buy a fireplace at Greg's Fireplace Shop and you have it installed in your home, you're getting a lot more than a fireplace. You're getting the tantalizing smell of fresh popcorn popped the way it was meant to be popped over an open fire. You're getting the laughter of a child toasting a marshmallow. You're getting the soft purr of a warm kitten curled up on the hearth. You're getting that special warmth for your body and heart that comes only from a fireplace. The crackle of the fire on a winter's night. The soft glow of the embers as your day comes to an end. That special point in the room where friends come closer together. If you're not getting all this and more, then maybe you should be getting to Greg's Fireplace Shop, 4646 Pacific in Lacey. They're full of hearth-warming ideas.
Yeah. Jack's talents were perfect for radio. Sponsors were not hard to find. After Canada Dry, there were Chevrolet and General Tire. But his association with Jell-O desserts is the classic one. His opening comment was often, "Jell-O again, this is Jack Benny."
Jell-O program, coming to you from Radio City, New York, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Kenny Baker, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with For No Rhyme or Reason. From California to New York, from Maine to Texas, every home has one common problem, and that's meal planning. You want to keep the family happy. You want to keep their appetites interested. Well, there's where Jell-O is a great big help. Jell-O is one dessert the family always likes because, first of all, there are so many different ways to serve it. With fruits or nuts or whipped cream molded in shimmering layers of two and three lovely colors, or just served perfectly plain. A grand dessert anytime. And second, and most important, Jell-O tastes so delicious. It's a new treat every time. For Jell-O brings you that extra rich fruit flavor. A wonderful, real fruit goodness that makes every Jell-O. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let us welcome to New York that little ray of California sunshine. That shivering, quivering, ice-kissed comedian, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny coming to you through a suit of long underwear. And, Don, it's sure great to be back in New York again, but, boy, this cold weather is really too much for me.
Oh, Jack, I'll admit it has been pretty cold, but it's certainly much warmer today.
I know that, Don, but I defrost very slowly. You know, coming from California, my blood happens to be thin, but there is of it. I can hardly stand it.
I know how you feel, Jack. After the sun goes down, it does get pretty frigid.
Frigid? Why, Don, the other night I slept under 6 blankets. I felt like the bottom wheat cake. The cold or no cold, it's good to be back in old Manhattan. Huh?
Well, tell me, Jack, you've been in town now since Thursday. What have you been doing with yourself?
Oh, I've had a lot of fun, Don. I saw some shows, went to a couple of nightclubs, and last night I was invited over to Fred Allen's apartment for dinner.
Oh, Fred Allen, huh?
Yeah, he and I are pretty good friends now, you know.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Has Fred got a nice apartment?
Oh, how could I tell, Don, with all that laundry hanging in the living room? But, Don, you should have seen the meal he put on. Now, you know me, Don. I mean, you know, and I don't want to sound catty. But after all, how often do I come to New York? Maybe once a year.
Well?
Well, you think he could have had sardines some other night.
Sardines?
And I wouldn't have liked them if he'd opened them with the key to the city. I got even with him, though, when I
left, I took three spoons back to the automat. Where did he find that out?
Gee, it doesn't seem possible that Fred would invite you to dinner and serve that kind of a meal.
Well, he did, and wait a minute, here's the payoff. So the only ones there were Fred, Portland, Mary, and myself. And when we got through eating, Fred asked me to get up and make an after-dinner speech.
An after-dinner speech? What was that for?
Well, he was hoping I'd say something that he could use on his program next Wednesday.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, I get it.
I fooled him, though. I got up and recited the Gettysburg Address in French. Let him use that. Anyway, Fred and I are friends now. I'm not going to start running him down.
Running him down? What have you been doing up till now?
Well, oh, it's you, Phil. Well, welcome to New York.
You're listening to The Jack Benny Story, narrated by Tom Reed.
Finer carpeting for finer homes comes from Selden's.
Where quality makes the difference. Second best won't do. You'll be impressed when you buy the best, 'cause quality makes the difference.
When it comes to carpeting for your home, there's no substitute for quality. The kind of quality that makes up the wide carpet selection at Selden's. Selden's selects their stock from the leading carpet mills in the nation. This is carpeting that will be beautiful for years and years because it was made to be. Whether you're carpeting a room or a whole house, you want the finest. And for that, you make your selection where moderate pricing, quality, and service are the main reasons so many of the finer homes in this area are served by Selden's, Franklin and Legion Way.
You'll be impressed when you buy the best, 'cause quality makes the difference.
What is electricity? Just this. Electricity is a manufactured product using natural resources such as coal, gas, oil, water, and uranium as raw materials. And as such, we must be concerned about the many facets of these related resources. About the need for offshore oil drilling, the tapping of new natural gas reserves, about providing a greater consumption of coal, and about breaking through technical barriers in shale oil and coal gasification. We must work for increased research into geothermal, solar, and nuclear technologies. We must look at the total picture of the energy problem, for it is not an isolated phenomenon, the creation of electricity. It is the total picture which will bring us the results we all desire. Clean, safe sources of electricity for today and for tomorrow. This message, courtesy of the National Electrical Contractors Association.
We'll have more of the Jack Benny story right after the news. The time is 2:30. Stay tuned.
Here's the latest worldwide news from the American Entertainment Network, John Cameron reporting. The Arab League's boycott office began a 10-day meeting in Cairo today, and the man who runs it, Mohammed Maghoub, called for a tightening of the rules to make it easier to get on the list and harder to get off. The boycott office has had a flood of requests from Western business firms which say they'll stop doing business with Israel if they can get off the Arab boycott list and trade with the oil-rich Arab countries. Undersecretary of State Joseph Sisko, who holds the Middle East desk in the department, thinks there will be no war this year in the Middle East. In fact, in Washington, Sisko says there may be an interim agreement between Israel and Egypt.
I am still hopeful that we can make progress on a step-by-step basis, and I do not believe that the processes of diplomacy have been exhausted, and moreover, as I read the area, and I've now spent as many as 4 months of the last 12 in the Middle East, I think both sides are sick and tired of war, and I think the diplomatic process that we're seeing is a reflection of the desire of both sides to try to get something done.
Sisko says there can be no long-term peace in the Middle East without the cooperation of the Soviet Union. Sisko was on Meet the Press on NBC. A magazine in Cairo says Russia and the United States have agreed to reconvene the Geneva talks on the Middle East in April. And now this.
My dad had given him some gum, And I pulled my father aside and said, you know, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't do that. And he mentioned that it was Trident, which I had never heard of. And we tried it and liked it.
Harolyn Cohen of Rockville, Maryland, talks about her son and Trident sugarless gum.
With Trident, it was just like chewing another chewing gum. The fact that it's sugarless was kind of an extra bonus, although that's why I bought it.
Well, 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed recommend sugarless gum for their patients who chew gum.
It's almost like a badge of how well I handle my family.
Trident, for families who care about their teeth.
You're in business. You don't need us to tell you ad costs are rising. It's called adflation. But maybe you do need us to remind you there's one medium not soaring in price. One medium that relies more on creativity than dollars for production. One medium that moves quickly. You're listening to it now, and so are your customers. Virtually everyone listens to radio every week, averaging over 3 hours a day. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
A tornado hit a motel and restaurant in Tuscaloosa, Alabama today. First reports say one person is dead, at least 50 others hurt, and damage heavy. In Oklahoma, hundreds of people are homeless because of the tornadoes that hit early yesterday. In Duncan, in southwestern Oklahoma, 3,900 homes were battered badly enough so that the people who live there have had to find someplace else to stay for now. Two newspapers in London say Britain is ready to take over the Chrysler subsidiary there if Chrysler decides to stop making cars in Britain. In Detroit, Chrysler says it has no plans to shut down the British operation. ABC's Jerry Stanicky reports.
Officials at Chrysler here in Detroit tell me they don't understand why the story. Just a few days ago, Board Chairman Lynn Townsend strongly stated Chrysler intends to stay in Britain and continue building cars. Townsend says the British operation as well as the U.S. operations will be trimmed to become profitable. And Chrysler President John Ricardo stated in his letter to Anthony Benn, a letter that Benn asked to be made public, and Chrysler said okay, that they do intend to stay in Britain. Jerry Stanicky, ABC News, Detroit.
Chrysler has put its workers in Britain on a 3-day work week. The U.S. Army spraying operation against blackbirds around Hopkinsville, Kentucky last week killed hundreds of thousands of the birds, but that was barely a dent in the flock of up to 10 million. The director of the Kentucky Animal Disease Laboratory in Hopkinsville, Dr. Wade Cadle, tells ABC News, there's hardly such a thing as overkill when it comes to the blackbirds.
We've had this problem for 6 or 7 years now, and I expect that the roost will be repopulated again next year. Therefore, we must apply Turgitol again and again and again.
Dr. Cadle says Turgitol should be sprayed to kill the blackbirds in the fall and winter every year for as long as he can foresee before the birds go north for the summer and replenish their numbers. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown station in Olympia.
KICN.
Hey, that's a beautiful chess set. Where did you get it?
Marble Elegance Imports.
What's it made of? That's not marble.
Yeah, it's soapstone. It was carved in the Orient.
Clever people, those Orientals.
Not as clever as me. I got a 10% discount on that set. I also got a 10% discount on that painting and that Oriental screen.
How'd you get a 10% discount?
Well, about a month ago, a plastic telephone book cover was delivered in the mail, and inside were coupons. Instead of throwing them away, I used them. Clever?
Oh, yeah, very clever, but what are all these other discount coupons?
Oh, they're the ones I'm going to use to buy some other nice things for my home or the office at Marble Elegance Imports.
You mean you got all these coupons in that one phone book cover?
Oh, no. These coupons I got from my friends.
They gave them to you?
I should say not. I had to bargain for them. I had to trade.
What did you trade?
Slugs to use in my bubblegum machine.
Jack Benny would have loved you.
Yes, and Jack Benny would have loved saving 10% at Marble Elegance Imports, 5826 Pacific in Lacey.
Jack developed his own radio format, a combination comedy, variety, continuity show, a program which definitely established characters who were looked for each week and established situations which have cumulative comedy value. Jack was one of the first to kid his sponsors and was definitely the first comedian who played straight for other people on the show, who had laughs turned on himself as often, if not much oftener, than he'd turn them on others. Then he became the lovable boob, the man with human frailties, a person that the listener could associate with. All the characters on a radio show were also created so as to be able to relate to real people. This is the way Jack wanted it, and it worked superbly.
I played a character that included all the faults and the frailties, I think that's the right word, and the frailties of mankind. See, every family had somebody like me. Either they had an uncle who was stingy, or one who thought he was very sexy and he wasn't. So every family has that kind of a person. The different characterizations, you know, we made Phil Harris a sort of a smart alecky guy. He either left a pool room, or a bar, or a girl.
Well, that's about all I can think. I'm going to the bar and start warming up for New Year's Day.
When Dennis came in, you knew he was always vague about something.
Now, look, now, let's go to the other room.
Well, say, Mr. Benny.
What?
You see this tie I'm wearing? My girl knitted it for me for Christmas.
The tie? What are those things hanging on the side?
She started to make a sweater and changed her mind.
Mary always sort of ran my life, even though she wasn't supposedly married to me.
I'm in my late 30s, or my early 40s.
You were in your early 40s in the gay 90s.
And I would see to it that the material I gave them almost fit their characters personally, and particularly their speaking voices.
Frank Morgan played one of the Benny characters, the department store floorwalker. Frank enjoyed working with Jack because he did let others get laughs, too.
You would read a Jack Benny script and read Jack's lines. You would find he had nothing in the way of jokes, ever. He gave all his jokes to his people who surrounded him. He built on the people that worked with him, which was a very lovely thing. And it showed a great security because I've worked with comedians who, if you had a good joke, when you came back for the show, they had the joke, and you didn't have it anymore. But Jack never did anything like that, and I think that's one of the things that made his comedy different than other comedy.
Oh, mister.
Yeah.
Mommy, are you the floor walker
here? Well, what do you think I am with this carnation, a float in the Rose Parade?
Always running. How can you keep a job as a floor walker?
My father owns the store.
Oh, and you're working your way up.
I know. I started as president.
The unforgettable Frank Morgan as the department store floor walker. Jack worked hard in those early radio days to develop a different comedy format for his show. Something that would be unique for his day. Hilliard Marks.
He did not want to do a comedy, a half-hour comedy show per se. He wanted it broken up into three spots where he would open and then you'd have an orchestra, then you'd have another spot, and then you'd have a singer, and then you'd have your closing spot, which would be undoubtedly a sketch. And his first writer was Harry Kahn, who was a very fine writer. And it's amazing that he would write this show, Harry would, all by himself, with the help of Jack, sitting in on it. But that was the beginning of the three-spot radio shows that followed the comedy show. He set a precedent. And Jack has always more or less established and set a precedent for those that followed.
This is the story of Jack Benny, narrated by Tom Reed.
Weather reports are brought to you daily by Greg's Fireplace Shop. You know, having a fireplace in your home is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Let's take it a step at a time. First of all, you pick where you want it. Now, that's step one. Next, you go to Greg's Fireplace Shop. That's step two. At Greg's Fireplace Shop, you pick out the fireplace you want. It can be a freestanding fireplace, a built-in fireplace, or a decorative wall-mounted fireplace. Now, these are not just decorator items. They burn anything you want to burn. And don't get the idea that they all look alike. There is a choice so wide at Greg's Fireplace Shop that you can pick a fireplace that looks like it was meant only for your home. Step three is installation. Now, you can do it, or you can have Greg's Fireplace Shop do it. You see, having a fireplace is as simple as 1, 2, 3 at Greg's Fireplace Shop, 4646 Pacific in Lacey. They're full of hearth-warming ideas.
The early basic radio show format that Jack developed stayed with him for years. But there were some changes in personnel over the years. As Hilliard Marks recalls, Phil Harris was not the early orchestra leader. It was Ted Weems. Announcer Don Wilson joined the Benny Show in the early days and stayed with Jack through TV to the very end.
Don was from KOA in Denver.
Was Don just a local station announcer at that time?
Yes. And then he had Don Bester as the orchestra leader instead of Ted Weems. And Don Bester was very fastidious in his dress. And one day at that time, at that period, the men wore spats. And when the writers took one look at him, and that was the beginning of Don Bester with the spats. And then we would use Abe Lyman every now and then when we'd go east. And Abe Lyman was fabulous, but Abe Lyman had started as a cab driver in Chicago, and he never lost the vocabulary of a cab driver. And this was the dearest, sweetest man you've ever met, but he was constantly putting Jack down. And then we had Andy Devine, and I remember that at that time I was writing, and of course Andy Devine with a frog in his throat, and he defended Jack, and I remember one line we had, he said, where Abe Lyman said to Andy Devine, "One more word out of you and I'll clear your throat." So that gives you an example as to the knowledge about as to what Abe Lyman was like.
Jack Benny's theme song was called Love in Bloom. When I asked him about it, he said he really didn't like it.
Because it has nothing to do with a comedian at all. It happened to be a number that I kept playing on the violin for a few weeks, not dreaming it was ever going to be my theme song. And all of a sudden, I'd walk into nightclubs or restaurants, and the orchestras there would start playing Love in Bloom. So they made it my theme song, practically against my will. There was no way I could stop it. So I left it that way. But it isn't, it's a beautiful song, but it doesn't fit a comedian. But I couldn't do anything about it.
Back in the 1920s and 30s, this is the way Jack Benny's theme song sounded, the way it was being played in those days.
With rare and magic perfume. Oh, no, it isn't the trees, it's love in bloom. And it is a spring that seems to bring the stars right into my room. Oh, no, it isn't the spring, it's love in bloom. Devil, you planted a seed, and this is the flower, this hour of sweet fulfillment. Is it all a dream, the joy supreme that came?